This offseason, a lot of love, rightfully so, has been thrown towards Matis Buzelis. But on today's episode, we're going to do what finally needs to be done and talk about the issues and flaws with Matis Buzelis. And this comes from an article from Austin McGee, which I'm glad somebody's finally writing what Matis Buzelis needs to improve on. We'll talk about that. Then we're going to look at an article from Elias Schuster on potential 2026 free agents the Bulls could target. We'll talk about all that plus more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today, y'all. And Matis Buzelis has rightfully so gained a lot of attention this offseason. He is the Bulls right now kind of biggest hope for a player to turn into a star and develop and maybe truly change the direction of this franchise. And while Matis Buzelis' rookie season started off a little rocky with Billy Donovan not playing him in consistent minutes, by the end of the season, everybody kind of understood and saw what the potential was there in Matis and understood even maybe what Billy Donovan was doing with not throwing too much on Matis right away. For what it's worth, Matis Buzelis has always talked positively about how Billy Donovan used him. Of course, he was a little frustrated by the minutes, not at first, but you know, since that time has passed and the season has gone on, Matis has been pretty favorable on how Billy Donovan planned out and used him. And Matis has worked all offseason. We've heard about Matis being at the Advocate Center basically the entirety of the offseason, despite some little traveling with that. And while we, yesterday that there was a story posted on Instagram of Kobe White and Trey Jones and, Matis and Patrick Williams all kind of being together for dinner, maybe doing those offseason workouts, the unofficial workouts before the start of training camp, which is good to see and it's good for the team to be in that place, in that position. But Matis Buzelis, I've said it and I've worded it like this a few times. I do think some Bulls fans are guilty for seeing Matis Buzelis for what he can become and not necessarily what he is right now. And they're viewing it through that lens. It's a great lens to view it in, but we got a while before Matis Buzelis is even remotely featured as an offensive player for the Chicago Bulls. Now, I want to see Matis grow defensively. I want to see Matis grow in efficiency from shooting. But there's a key area that really kind of dictates and really kind of perfectly pictures why Matis Buzelis isn't yet ready based off what we know now. Now, if he takes a leap in year two, he takes a leap in year two. Now, this article was written by Austin McGee over on Pippin Ain't Easy. Shout out to him. And he pointed out some key numbers. And now the article is more about Matis growing as a playmaker overall. They do some comparisons to Zachary Richer, all that. But I want to focus on some key numbers from this article. First up, nearly 70% of Matis Buzelis' two-point shots came from assist, and almost all of his shots came from assist. Now, this is something that we've talked about here over on Chicago Bulls Central multiple times, is that, yeah, a lot of Matis Buzelis' shots were assisted, and you don't typically see a player that is ready to make that leap come from getting majority of their shots assisted to now you're a star player, right? So you have to get that together a little bit more. As a matter of fact, looking over the season for Matis Buzelis, 80.6% of his shots were assisted. 19.4% were unassisted. That's not gonna cut it, right? And then when you look at the average distance on the shot for Matis Buzelis, 13.7 feet was the average distance on each of Matis Buzelis' shots. You got to be more than that. Matis Buzelis, almost everything that he took was either at the three-point line or at the rim. That was it. And you have to be better. Your shot versatility has to be more varied than that if you're going to actually make that next step and ascend to getting near anything near being a focal point of a team. Right now, Matis Buzelis, based off the way he shoots, where he shoots, it's high-level role player. Now, we know that Matis has more potential than that. In no way are we trying to paint Matis Buzelis to being just a high-level role player, but that's where it is right now. So there's that next step that he needs to make. 71.9% of Matis Buzelis' field goals within 5 feet and were assisted, and 54.5% between 5 and 9 feet were assisted. That's just it's not going to get there. And so even when you look at between 10 and 19 feet, 80% of his shots were assisted there. Now, he only attempted 16 field goals there from within that range, but it is what it is. 88% of Modest Buzelis' shots were either at the rim or at the free throw, at the three-point line. You got to be better in those areas. So you got to, those unassisted assisted splits are concerning. So Modest, like, one of the things that I'm really hoping that Billy Donovan does, and it is a task for Billy Donovan and this coaching staff, is to give Modest more opportunities and situations where he has to try to create for himself off the dribble or create a play for others. He was touted as a point forward coming into the league. That's something that I talked about him with my draft analysis with him, is that he does have that modern point forward game and how that can help, you know, you build a team with more fluidity when you have somebody that can't operate and play make. I mean, when you look at the difference, and this is pointed out in McGee's article, at the difference between how Zachary Richer was talked about leading into the draft as a 3-and-D wing, right? And that, you know, his biggest threat was three-point shooting, a spot-up three-point shooter. Then you look at Modest Buzelis, who his draft profile coming into this was that he was looked at as, again, a budding point forward skills that would be worth continuing to develop given his strong floor vision and timing as a passer. Yet, most of his buckets were assisted. Now, don't get me wrong. You're going to have Josh Giddey that's going to create for others, especially as Modest is learning to create his own shot at the NBA level. But that is a huge key for Modest coming into the season. He has to grow as a playmaker. And whether that's creating for others, whether that's creating for himself, he has to grow as a playmaker. And as he does that, that's where Modest is really going to grow at. As a matter of fact, there's already some signs in his game of doing that. When you look at he didn't have a huge amount of assists last year. It really wasn't his game. But Modest Buzelis, the majority of assists went to Kobe White. The second most of assists were actually tied for first went to Zach Collins. The third most went to Josh Giddey. You know what that tells you is that if you have shooting around Modest Buzelis, is that he is going to be able to get them the ball, and he can get your bigs with his ability to use his size to look over defenders and to survey the field. He can be another guy that once we get that lob threat big, can get the ball to the big. Kobe White as a scorer. You use Modest Buzelis as a focal point in some instances to grow that playmaking. Modest Buzelis has shown that. As a matter of fact, out of the turnovers that Modest Buzelis had, he only averaged 0.9 turnovers in those situations, right? That's in the regular season as a playmaker. And out of those, only 0.3 were counted as bad pass turnovers. So we're seeing a player that in Modest Buzelis that has had turnover issues that most rookie bigs have. So that's not a question there. But they're not coming from bad passes. And that's something that I think is really encouraging there. And that assist to turnover ratio is really good. Again, that's something that's not talked a lot about Modest Buzelis' game. Less than a turnover per game. Now, the assist number wasn't huge. It was one assist per game. He didn't have a lot of opportunities. But the bad pass situations in that is the key there. Creating almost 2.5 points off assist as a rookie that most of your buckets were assisted on, we know that that playmaking ability is there with Modest Buzelis. He just has to, A, have more of those opportunities, and he has to grow within those opportunities and show that he can do it without turning the ball over. And if he does do that, then we're off to the races for Modest. So shooting, becoming a more efficient shooter, which he did become as the season went on, having more opportunities to create for yourself and others. These are areas where Modest Buzelis can grow his game the most. And if he does, then we're starting to talk and see up that player that could become a star. This is not to knock Modest Buzelis. The sky is the limit for Modest. But again, we have to talk about things in reality, and I get it. We as Bulls fans, we haven't had this a lot. We haven't had a lot of young players that we look at, and after their rookie year, we're like, damn, this guy could be it, right? He could be it. But we cannot. We have to stop as a fan base talking about it as if he's already there, when in reality, he's still pretty far off. Now, some of that comes down, a big portion of that comes down to opportunity, and that is going to be up to Billy Donovan and this coaching staff to find those opportunities within the flow of the game, whether that is making him the stagger guy, whether that is having him more opportunities with Josh Giddey off the court so that we can use him as a playmaker. Whatever that is, you have to get to that place of being able to do that, because if you do not, it's going to get pretty ugly. And so we'll see what happens in Modest Buzelis' year two. Again, like I said, extremely excited about Modest Buzelis in year two and what he can develop into as a player for this Bulls team over the next few years. it's exciting. And the sky is truly the limit for Modest. And I guess we're going to see if we can get there. With that said, let's move over. Elias Schuster over on Bleacher Nation had a list of potential, he had more of a list of the top free agents going into free agency, and then had if the Bulls should pursue that free agent. I want to actually just focus on the guys that I do think that the Bulls should target in this. Now, I want to start off with because we already did an episode on restricted free agents the Bulls could target, and his list was much the same as my list. Jaden Ivey, Jalen Duren, Benedict Mathurin, Dyson Daniels. Those are the restricted free agents that I'm not saying are going to be easy to get, but I am saying that those are the ones that I'm kind of focused on and watching their development, watching their situation develop over this next season for the respective teams. Jaden Ivey and Jalen Duren, both with the Detroit Pistons that are an ascending team, but we already know that the Pistons are also a team like us that don't necessarily like paying the luxury tax. And so one of those guys, most likely...
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
He's going to be Jalen Duren. It's probably going to stick with that team. And that leaves, depending on what the contract offers are, for one of those guys to end up moving on. Now, I say could be, because it's not necessarily guaranteed. From what I think the last thing that we heard, Jaden Ivey's looking for a deal around $18 million is at least the last projection that I've heard. Now, depending on how this season goes for Jaden Ivey, with him, his season last year ending on an injury, we should see. Now, Jaden Ivey could only be a target by the Bulls if Coby White does end up walking in free agency, at least in my opinion. Jaden Ivey, Ben Mathurin, these are guys that I would target if Coby White does leave in free agency. And the benefit that you have is both these franchises do not like paying the luxury tax. So with the Bulls having the most cap space in the league next year, they can give those guys an offer sheet that could push those teams into the luxury tax, depending on what they do with some other things. The Pacers have a lot of cap space potentially, but it depends on what they do in other places. They still got to replace Miles Turner. So that could get interesting there. Jaden Ivey, we talked about at nauseam, you know. Jalen Duren is a guy that if he goes into restricted free agency and he gets to the point where teams can give him an offer sheet, I'm giving him an offer sheet. If the Pistons match, they match. But I'm giving Jalen Duren an offer sheet and letting the Pistons force it by matching it is what I'll do there. He's almost the exact type of big that we need. Defensive, lob threat, rim protecting. The up-tempo offense, he's not necessarily the best as far as in an up-tempo offense, but I do think he can adapt. The Pistons didn't run him in a lot of those situations, so there could be opportunity for growth there. But all those restricted free agents make sense. Dyson Daniels as well is another one that the Atlanta Hawks are 99% likely to keep. But with how they're playing this right now and not giving Trae Young a contract extension offer, they want to see how Trae Young plays with Jalen Johnson before they do that. They have Nikhil Alexander Walker there. You know, we could see what happens there. Now, he did win Most Improved Player of the Year. Most likely, he's staying there. But a guy that I look at Dyson Daniels as a guy that could play with Kobe, or if Kobe does walk, you can use him to replace Kobe. He can be your three while Modest is still your four and Noah Essigay is coming along and you're trying to figure out that position there. That's an if. But again, another player that I would absolutely be interested in. But what I want to focus more so on is the unrestricted free agents, because that is something that we have not talked a lot about here, is the unrestricted free agents that actually make sense for the Chicago Bulls next season. And one of the first guys that Elias Schuster mentions is Isaiah Hartenstein, who has a player option after the season, saying this: Hartenstein has turned into one of the most trustworthy bigs in the NBA. He pairs a strong and agile defensive skill set with a crafty post presence. The veteran has also been one of the best passers at his position over the last several years. If he turned down his option to pursue more long-term security, the Bulls would be wise to give his camp a call. He could be just the kind of center they need to replace Nikola Vucevic. Now, common thought, and I'm sure people are already getting to typing on the YouTube side, are going to ask themselves, why in the world would the Thunder let Isaiah Hartenstein go, even if he does use his player option to opt out? And that is because of money and the second tax apron. And that is what it comes down to. And I think when you look at this, right, in objectivity, is that there's a reason why the Oklahoma City Thunder just drafted Thomas Sorber. Now, I do think that they are expecting Isaiah Hartenstein to pick up his player option. That gives them 2 years to develop Thomas Sorber to become that replacement for Isaiah Hartenstein. And that's basically what the Oklahoma City Thunder are going to be doing with the roster, with all the draft picks that they have into the future. They're going to be preparing to lose some players. They're going to still be trying to avoid that second tax apron, which they've done an amazing job at. Like, when you look at the Thunder's roster, the fact that this upcoming year they are $20 million beneath the second tax apron and $8 million beneath the first tax apron, this is why for Bulls fans that complain about the Bulls not paying the luxury tax as if that is going to be what changes the direction. No, you just have to be smart in how you draft, and then you can be smart in how you use your money. It's not the end-all, be-all is not just about paying the luxury tax. But the thing that changes is that next year, without any changes to their roster, the Oklahoma City Thunder are projected to be $36 million above the first apron and $24 million beneath the, above the second apron. Now, another genius thing that the Thunder have done is that they've foreseen this, because the following season, in 2026, 27, 28, they're back to $6 million below the first apron and $19 million below the second tax apron. So if they want to maintain that, a player like Isaiah Hartenstein, who could opt out looking for more long-term security, could be on his way out. And the Bulls, while they have not yet drafted their center of the future, signing Isaiah Hartenstein, and even if you sign him to a four-year deal, that gives you that amount of time to find your new long-term center or develop it while you have him on the roster. That the combination, in my mind, of where Modest is developing, Noah Essigane eventually becoming your four, and then you got Isaiah Hartenstein as your five, that's a nice lineup there, a mix between offense and defense, especially if your backcourt is still Josh Giddey and Kobe White. Isaiah Hartenstein makes a lot of sense for the Bulls, and if he were to opt out for the Oklahoma City Thunder, I do think, depending on the offers that he gets, the Thunder would have to really seriously think about paying Isaiah Hartenstein because of their desire to avoid that second tax apron. Now, if they win another title this upcoming season, at that point, you're looking for a three-peat. They may not give a shit, to be 100% honest with you, on paying it to get that coveted three-peat. So there is that part of it. But Isaiah Hartenstein is definitely a player that if he opts out, you can target. Another player that's on the Thunder is Lu Dort. He has a team option. And I do think that while Lu Dort is one of the best role players in the NBA, period, that is what he is, right? When you look at where he finished as far as defensive player of the year voting, fourth, he can be that every single year. I think that when you have a player, the players in Josh Giddey, Kobe White in your backcourt, you're looking for defense out on the perimeter. Lu Dort brings so much of that. And if the team were to not do that team option for Lu Dort, to then try to, again, maybe they're keeping Isaiah Hartenstein. You look at the wing defenders that they have there. Maybe they feel like they have a wing defender that can replace Lu Dort. The Bulls should be one of the first teams calling, because when you look at a defensive player that you need in the Bulls system, especially if Josh Giddey and Kobe White are your backcourt, Lu Dort brings so much of that. He's a player that I absolutely would be there on it. And then look at it as well. 41% three-point shooter last season on almost six attempts per game. Yeah, absolutely. If the Thunder are crazy enough to opt out of that team option, I'm come calling there for Lu Dort right away. The next player that they have, and really kind of the last unrestricted free agent potentially that I think that the Bulls could target, is Austin Reeves, who has a player option. And the thing is, and this is just me, I'm going to say just me. When I look at Austin Reeves, I wonder if it's a player that is taking advantage of the system and situation that he's in, and if he's a player that is going to maintain that if he goes to a completely different organization. We've seen it before. Now, he's gotten better every year of his four-year NBA career so far. You can't take that away from him. He averaged 20 points per game, almost 6 assists, and almost 5 rebounds per game last season, right? And you look at a player that was an undrafted free agent and turned into what he's turned into, a solid decision-making, a maker, all those type of things. That is what Austin Reeves has turned into. But me personally, there are still things about Austin Reeves' game that I look at and I see, and I'm just like, I don't know how to feel about this, right? And so he's not a player that I look at and I in any way say is horrible or anything like that, but he's a player that that progression that he's been on, I just don't know how effective he's going to continue to be on that. And, you know, that's just my personal opinion on it. Now, wants to say that if the Bulls, again, I think this is more, once again, one of those conversations that if the Bulls do lose out on Kobe White and they could be looking for a replacement, great. The mix between Austin Reeves and Luka Doncic hasn't necessarily been the best on the court for the Lakers yet. And I do think they can look to move Austin Reeves to find a player that more so suits what Luka Doncic is bringing to that team. I do think that that's a possibility. I'm not saying that it's likely, but I do think it's a possibility for sure. I have my questions. There was a time period where they were talking about if the Lakers were interested in Zach, the Bulls would have wanted Austin Reeves back. And I understood that for a trade. If you're giving up free agent capital, I have some questions on it. But again, I'm not going to be mad at the Bulls being more aggressive. Now, we shall see there. It depends really on how the makeup and how the team looks between now and then. But I'm just not the highest on Austin Reeves. Not the highest on him at all. And that's just my personal opinion. Another player that he did mention here is Kristaps Porzingis, who is an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season. Kristaps and the injury thing. Now, I would take a look at Kristaps. If you draft your center in the draft, your center of the future in the draft, and you want a guy that can come in and be a defensive-minded guy for you right away, I'm not necessarily mad at Kristaps Porzingis, but he hasn't played in more than 65 games since his second season. That's in 2016-17. So I'd be concerned about that, but the nature of it, because you'd be doing it in my mind, if you draft another center, maybe you can have that. I think Noah Essengate can learn a lot from Kristaps Porzingis as well. So maybe that's a guy as well that you look at in those areas. But just a little bit wary about it, if you can't tell. But let me know what you guys think on that down below. That's my time for today, guys. Make sure you guys are following us at Bulls Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullscentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that is thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.